Well, welcome to the conversation. You're listening to Andy Mason, and this is Authentic Conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And I've got a treat today. I've got with me John Ramstead, Eternal Leadership. He's a ex-Navy pilot, a leadership coach, and executive development. There's a whole story in there that you're going to hear some of. But why have we got him in the studio today? It's really around the themes for this year, around the kingdom of God advancing in business to influence and serve the planet. But secondly, is around this theme of leadership. Don't shrink back, don't draw back, don't hold back. Your voice is really, really important. So as you've been listening the last few weeks, I've interviewed different seasoned leaders, love Jesus, engaged in business, around how they lead and make decisions in the midst of uncertainty. So let's dive into some of these leadership questions.
Yeah.
I want to ask you first, what's been the hardest decision that you've had to make recently as a leader, and how did you make it?
Well, so 2019, we were set up to have one of the best years our company. So I started a coaching company called Beyond Influence, and we grew and grew and grew. And we were set up to have one of the best years ever by like an order of magnitude. And then what happened was, is because, and our biggest customer at the time was the US military. And we'd been, here's what happened is when budgets got redirected to build the wall, that funding came out of the training budgets across the DOD.
Ah.
I had my entire last 5 months of my calendar completely scheduled out with all kinds of contracts. We had a team of seven that were going to be busy across the country. Everything got canceled. And I had no business, no momentum, no plan B, because I didn't think I'd need a plan B. And we didn't, and they kept trying to get it approved. We didn't find out till October. So I'm like, okay, I have no money. Literally, I haven't had any money coming in for 3 months, and all this that was supposed to come in is gone. And I had to rebuild and restart. And I got to tell you, it was this amazing time of really figuring out what was essential. What does God want me to focus on? And we did it. And we got momentum going, and I had 14 speaking events, everything going on. And we hit COVID last year. Andy, I'm like, you know, and I had a restart after my accident. I'm like, seriously, Lord, I don't know if I can do this again. Right. So then we rebuild with COVID and we start to get some momentum. And then I actually get it. And I'm taken off the board for a month and a half this spring as we're trying to launch the book. I had to cancel speaking again. So here was the hardest decision, is do I even stick with this?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like this is where God's wanted me the whole time, but what if I could go somewhere and get a job that had a salary that just took care of my family and had benefits? I mean, what I have to pay for healthcare for my family is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? Be part of a team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what it was, here was my decision. Do I do what is comfortable and what I want?
Yeah.
Or do I do what is uncomfortable and what I believe God wants? And that was quite an inflection point, because I honestly wanted to hit the pause button. And I'm like, you know, give me a break. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, truly, there was days where I was literally in tears, and I just had to reach out to my band of brothers, the guys in my Bible study, guys from my church, my pastor. I'm like, you know, I'm a human, right? Like, every day is not like, well, God, just show me the small step today and we'll keep rocking and rolling. But that's my prayer. But sometimes, you know, when it comes to the actual day to day, and I want to be strong for my wife. She values security. So a lot of the stuff I can share with her, some of it I didn't feel comfortable sharing because I knew how it would affect her.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, being in community and being in relationships, people you can talk to about your doubts and your fears, people who can empathize with you, challenge your thinking. But at the end of the day, I decided, you know what, I'm not going to go that direction. This is the path God wants me on, for better or for worse, right? For richer, for poorer.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're married. Like, you know, I honestly, you know, what God gives us, for you that are happily married, God gave us that as a gift to model the relationship, that so we can have something tangible of the relationship he has, not wants to have, but he already has with us.
Yeah.
As soon as I was within his physical presence at my accident scene, and felt his love, which I remember the first thought that crossed my mind when I felt it, and I was laying there with my body crushed. I didn't even know how bad it was at the time, was I'm not worthy of somebody loving me like this.
Wow.
What I knew in that moment that anything I'd ever done in my past was not even relevant to the relationship God has and with me in the present. And he was inviting me to join him in. It was absolutely transformational for me.
Yeah.
Understanding God's nature. That's what sought me to seek who is God,
yeah.
Which then led to seek, you know, who did he make me to be?
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, that was hard because at my core, I just wanted, I didn't want to feel like every day was a battle. And yeah. I still feel like that, like my health now, like maintaining, like I had to crank up my oxygen just to be able to have this conversation. I can already tell as soon as we're done with this conversation, I'm going to go probably sleep for a couple hours.
Yeah.
But this is where God wants me and I trust him.
So thank you. I'm hearing you say that the hardest decision is actually leading yourself and then leading yourself according to what your conviction of what God is leading you to do, rather than it's so easy to just, I'm sure you could put your hand up and there'd be a dozen companies that would snap you up in a heartbeat, which would be so much easier. But you have this conviction that God's called you a different way. And I'm hearing a number of things in there in the midst of the uncertainty and the not knowing what and how. You've got, obviously, your conviction, we'll kind of come back to that in a moment, but you've got people around you. You've got wise counselors. You've got people that you've walked with. You've got some spiritual leaders, mature spiritually, that you lean on. Your spouse is with you. You've got all that around you. Come back to the thing that helps you make the decision is you have this unshakable conviction of what God's called you to, which started when you experienced how much he loves you, that just overwhelmed you. But what do you do to cultivate, to keep, what kept you not just settling? There's something in you, like, how did you know that there was a conviction of God that he's called you, John, don't back down? How do you know that that's God?
Well, there's one word that just pops into my head like a big blinking neon sign. That's the word abide. And if you guys just go to a dictionary, you know, the Bible Gateway, just type in the word abide, how much it comes up. Because think about this, you know, Andy, let's say that you and I hadn't talked in 2 years and I called you up and I said, you know what, you know, you're a good guy and I got this big decision to make. Could you help me out? You'd be like, well, sure. Can you tell me a little bit about it? But if you and I were in a relationship and we were talking every day and we were sharing text messages and we were in mastermind groups together and I called you up and I said, Andy, I need some help with this. He goes, yeah, you sure do.
Yeah.
It's about having a relationship. Now, God wants to have a relationship with us, but how much time are we spending with him?
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable, I think, for us as people to go to anybody, whether it's God or Andy, and say, hey, I need some help.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that's become one of my habits is coming down in the morning and I just listen, like you've quoted some scripture today that I've written down. And what I'll do is my abide time, this is what it looks like for me, is I'll read through that whole chapter or a whole section just to read through it. And then I'll read through it again. And I'm just listening to where Holy Spirit says, that's what I want you to focus on.
Yeah.
And then I'll dig into that and say, okay, what are you trying to tell me here? And then I'll look at the cross references. I love doing this now. It's become this, like this beautiful treasure hunt. I'll look at the original Latin and the Greek and look at the meanings of the words. And out of that, God is just talking to me and sharing with me. And I think it's because we've developed this trust, this friendship, this respect. I want to say the word fear, just because how mighty the Lord and powerful the Lord is.
Yeah.
Right. And so when I was struggling, I knew that it was my desire for easy, you know, to hit the easy button.
Yeah.
But that's not the desire God had for me in the moment. I honestly, in the back of my head, knew that. And then I actually, with some friends of mine who challenged me kind of on my thinking, they just said, dude, that's not, God didn't save you to go get a job. That's, and I'm not impugning anybody that has a job. I know some people have been through near-death experiences that they're doing exactly that, but that's just for me. My path is not that right now. It could be in the future, but I think it's that relationship. And it takes time and it takes an investment and it takes, turning, think about in Second Chronicles, right? Turn toward his face. I pray every day that God shows me his physical face again.
Yeah.
I think he wants us to pray that way. I want him to show up in my bedroom and have a chat.
Yeah.
Because we had one. I think I'd like to have a do-over.
Yeah.
I might be a little more intelligent this time, right? He wants us to pray. And he teaches us how to pray and he wants us to repent.
Yeah.
And that's not just in general and in the public. That's actually me looking in the mirror and say, okay, am I the best person I can be today? How did I treat my wife? How was my thinking? Was I obedient? Did God put something on my heart and I blew it off because there was something else I wanted to do?
Yeah.
So, and then, so we have kind of a saying in our family, Andy, it's excellence is the standard, but grace is the word.
Yeah.
And that is, God, there's plenty of stuff we can beat ourselves up about, but I'm going to do my best each day. And if I mess up, I'm going to give myself the same grace that God gives me. And tomorrow I'm just going to do my best to be a little better.
So good. I mean, I'm loving that. This, you just can't beat this consistent pursuit of God, leaning in, anticipating. I love it. Bill Johnson talks about it. It's anticipation with, I'm leaning in with an attitude of obedience. I'm expecting to hear and obey because I know he speaks.
Yes.
And that positions you to hear, whether you hear in the moment or not. I love it how you've cultivated this lifestyle of continually being in the word, because that shapes you. And and the other thing I'm hearing, you calling that prayer, and I know this to be true. I know a friend in a particular country, significant of wealth, and he was asked, what's the secret of your success? In a Muslim country, wealthiest man in the country, and was asked, what's the secret of your wealth? And he answered, I spend an hour to an hour and a half every morning sitting and listening for the voice of God. And you just described that. It's also, I think, Isaiah 26, walking in your ways, we wait for you. And that's what you're doing. You're walking through his word. You're listening. You're seeking it out, being diligent to know. But that attitude over time is what anchors you. It's almost like that Jeremiah who says, your word is like a fire in my bones. I grow weary of holding it in. As in, oh my gosh, this is not fun. When I do what you tell me to do, I get beaten up. It's hard. It's difficult. But your word is like a fire in my bones. I grow weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. It's like, I just can't not do this. And that's what I hear coming through you. It's like, yep. It's like Jesus saying to the disciples, well, you guys want to leave as well? And they say, yeah, but where would we go? Because you have the words of life. And I'm hearing that through you. It's interesting. And when we interviewed Shay Bynes, similar thing. She had the encounter with Jesus of his love that washed over her. And that changed your life completely and set her on a path of, it's his love that leads me. And then it becomes a reverence and awe that then you keep alive by cultivating it in the word. And you're saying that's what's kept the conviction for you to make the decisions when it really gets hard is, I can't not do this.
Well, it's interesting. Somebody asked me, when I was in God's presence in my accident, how would you describe him in that moment? And I'd never thought of that before. And the first word that popped into my head was the word friend.
Wow.
And I had actually, even though I was people knew me as a Christian, I had never read the Bible all the way through. Right. And then I came across that scripture that Jesus wants to call us friend.
That's right.
And I got to tell you, I'm like, boom. Right. Cause his friends, know his master's business. He wants to share that. And that's when I realized it's, this purpose, this calling, this relationship, hearing, it's not this hidden treasure. No, God wants it. And the reason it's not happening is because of me and how I'm showing up in the relationship. And God is willing to mentor me, disciple me into this beautiful friendship. And I got to tell you, for me, that was like, it was freeing, Andy.
Yeah. And that's the anchor. That's the anchor to everything.
Now there's a condition there though, right?
Yeah.
We need to be obedient to his word. Right. It's like, I can't just go pull the ripcord and be a crazy guy and come back and say, well, I got the fire insurance.
Yeah. Nope. Not
right. No, it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah. Which is, it's kind of straight up in the Bible about that. Well, depart from me. You doers of evil, as in you were lawless. You listen to me and then just go and do what you want. Well, didn't we cast out demons and raise the dead and give away $1 billion in your name? didn't we vote in your name or whatever it is?
Yeah, I didn't know you though.
Yeah, but he didn't know. It's like, I don't even know you. Like, you're just doing what you want to do and then you're calling it Christian, which that's what we're talking about before this call. It's exciting to see what's going on in the world, because black and white, in terms of darkness and light, in terms of fruit of things that lead to life or things that lead to death, policies, procedures, and behaviors and attitudes is becoming more and more obvious, which is exciting time to live. John, yeah. Talk to me about, have you ever got any decisions wrong? And what do you do when you know you're a leader and you're actually leading leaders? You're coaching executives who are making million-dollar decisions. You're leading people in their families, in their homes, in their sports teams, in defense force. Like, how do you navigate knowing that you're never going to always be right? And then knowing that if you get it wrong, it can be devastating. How do you navigate that concern around failure, the concern around, I don't want to get up on that horse again and get knocked off again? How do you navigate getting things wrong?
Well, I haven't gotten back on a horse again. My wife won't let me, but I would have if she had let me, by the way.
Let's not talk about that one. Yeah.
But you know, here's the thing is I'm not there alone, Andy. I'm really not. And think about in Ephesians 4, it says God is above us. He is near us, but he's also in us. So Father God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the Trinity is enthroned in us. I carry them with me everywhere I go. They're in the room with me, and they're also up in the heavenlies. And when you're tapped into that, now here's the thing is, I think there's times where my exuberance or my will has gotten involved.
Yeah.
And I know you had Ford Taylor on, right? When I have made a mistake, I made a mistake big time. I was doing a meeting with a very high level team for the military. And there was a woman that had shared an opinion that I thought was really destructive and corrosive, her point of view and how she was showing up. And I could tell, you know, you feel the sense, the energy.
Yeah.
Like her and team did not like working for this lady. And I, as soon as she said this, I figured it out immediately. Now what I said something to her publicly in front of all of her peers about what she had said and basically made her wrong in the moment. And I could just feel like everybody go, right? Like he said that to her. And I realized I probably just lost half the group. I just lost my influence. And we went in right after this, we have a break. We're going to lunch. I'm like, oh boy, what do I do? Well, you know what? I got to walk the talk. So I came back in the room and I said, okay, I did this publicly in front of the whole room. I said, here's what I said, you know, to you, you know, Mary. And that was wrong of me.
Yeah.
And here's why. And I would ask you to forgive me. And if you can't, I understand, but when you can, would you? And I said, you can hold me accountable.
Yeah.
And I learned this 6-step apology from Ford Taylor, but you can hold me accountable to be respectful of everybody's opinion and draw that into the conversation in a way that's constructive. And if you don't think I'm doing that, now think about that. This is my client. They could fire me. And I'm going up there and basically saying, I totally screwed up. Yeah. I didn't do it well. And I'm going to give you permission to hold me accountable, who you're paying to do it better. I don't think I would have taken that approach when my identity was external.
Yeah.
And then I said, is there anything else you want to share? I got to tell you, it was like God came in and changed the energy in the room.
Yeah.
And she came up to me later, and it's because I did this. And she said, you know, I'm really having a lot of problems with a lot of the people on my team. And I said, okay, I can understand that. I said, and she said, what advice would you give me? I said, are you really? Anyway, what happened was opened up. I won't go through the whole thing, but I insulted her.
Yeah.
I apologized in front of all of her peers. Then I gave her an affirmation for something she had done and said that I really thought was great. But all of a sudden God used that. That wasn't John. God used that to create an influence in her life, where we had a really like a meaningful conversation after the class was over.
Yeah, because you humbled yourself, you understood an apology. I love this. You're saying, I'm not alone. I've actually got the Trinity abiding with me because I've cultivated their lifestyle. I carry him everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. Number two is, yeah, you know you're going to make mistakes. So you go in with, obviously, you don't want to do that again. Like, if you did it again, that's just stupid. But you made a mistake.
You do need to learn from your mistakes. Yeah, yeah. If I went and did it again, they're going to be like, he's out of here.
Yeah, he's out of here. But you actually knew a process to clean up your mess, which was a six-step apology. You learned that with Ford. Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic process. And then add God, the God who was residing in you, turned it and made it actually turned what was a mess into something that was beautiful.
Yeah. Can I share something else that just came to mind? Because you know what? We all make mistakes, you know, like big things I'm thinking of, right? Career decisions I made, leaving all kinds of things. But I was actually this amazing guy, Jamie, who I was coaching, who's an amazing believer, but he's also a sports performance coach, like LeBron James, Corey McIlroy are his clients.
Yeah.
And he shared with me once, you know, when everybody makes mistakes. Here's what destroys you though, is comparing yourself to others.
Yeah.
It is absolutely toxic to your performance, to your ability to make decisions in ambiguity. Because at the time, I'll tell you a quick story. My son was really struggling in baseball and he wanted to be the best and he wants to play in the majors. I mean, what little kid doesn't? And Jamie simply asked me a question. Hey, when Matthew's done with the game, what do you ask him? And I said, well, I ask him, hey, how'd you hit? How'd you pitch? He goes, you're the problem. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, you're forcing your son to compare himself to his teammates. You're forcing himself to go into a really one of the worst places for performance. I'm like, okay, so what do I do? He goes, here, this is a requirement he has with every one of his athlete clients. This is part of it. But the first question, he wants to shift that whole mindset. And the first question is, hey, I might have totally screwed that up. I might have gotten fired in that situation, right? I might have made the worst project decision ever. But hey, what? Let's focus on, hey, is there anything in there that I actually did well? Let's focus on the positive. And then he said, I make my clients show up, whether it's practice or game time or whatever, and they have to write down in a journal 10 things that they have learned since the last time they were together.
Yeah.
So I started asking Matthew when he'd come off, and he was only 10 years old. Hey, you know, it could be the worst game ever. What'd you learn? What's something you did well? Well, by the end of that season, he got voted. He was the top player starting in the lineup and voted MVP by his teammates. I'm like, wow. So if I can compete with the best version of myself versus comparing myself to others, now I start looking at making decisions and the outcomes and the consequences of the decisions very differently. Even if I don't do well, it's going to help me. It's going to prepare me the next time God's going to use that. So
yeah.
Anybody, I wanted to share that, because anybody out there, especially if you have kids,
yeah.
I got to tell you, that advice Jamie gave me was absolutely priceless.
Yeah. So focus on what do you learn? What did you learn? What do you learn? Mm-hmm. I love that. John,
what did you do? And what did you do well?
Yeah.
Totally screwed it up. But you know, is there something you did well? Yeah. I signed my name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Correctly.
And I kept my head up. I didn't lose it in my head. Yeah. There's so many things. It's super good, John. I mean, I love this theme of, it doesn't matter where you're at in the business, in life, the one person that changes everything is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And once you know who he is, that, and you realize that you're made in his image and likeness, and you align your life and begin to abide in him, that is the path to life. And yes, there's simple processes and tools. Surround yourself with godly people. Have mature, wise counselors. Abide in his word. These understand how to apologize and apologize quickly and do it in front of the people that you messed up with, not just the individual. There's all of these steps and processes, but I'm loving through all of this. It's just the goodness of God and his nature made mm-hmm. manifest. He's the greatest leader ever. And yeah. If I will surrender to that, I was just thinking on a book of someone that I know is a wonderful author and has a successful life. And it's all about awaken the giant within. And I was pondering this and I realized, you know what? That's what the world would do. It's like, be the best you, rah, rah, rah. And I'm thinking, no, the pathway to greatness and leadership with God is surrender the giant within. Actually know who I am, but actually surrender everything I am to Jesus. And then it's amazing what happens as a result. John, why don't we just wrap this up? I'd love you to just pray for our listeners. There's people on this call that are all sorts of places, all sorts of stages in life. How would you just pray for them with the grace that you've accessed and tapped into with God?
Sure. Thank you, Andy. Thank you. Dear Lord, I just pray everybody out here who's listening to this right now, that they can feel your presence the way that I did at my accident, that they can just feel this, the energy, the power, the infinite love that you have for them individual. Lord, when I was in that presence and I realized that you love me as a person, I was blown away. And I want everybody out there to realize that the God of the universe loves you, knows you, cares for you, regardless of what you've done. And so, dear Lord, I just pray that people out there who maybe they've experienced other people that call themselves Christians, they've been through some of the most challenging trials this world has to offer. Lord, that they feel your presence, that they experience your love, that Lord, I just pray that you show them tonight, whether it's in a dream or a vision or just laying there staring out the window in a daydream, that you show them what you see when you look at them. And you show them today, Lord, I just pray that one small step today that you have planned, that you know will be in every one of our best interests, that is in alignment with what you are doing in our lives and in the world, that you just show everybody listening, what is that one small step that they can take today? And Lord, I just pray for everybody out there who doesn't know you personally, Lord, that you just open the door and you come into their life. And I got to tell you, living a life full of joy, fully alive, happened when I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And if you would like to do that right now, just lift your head up and just say, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I want you in my life. I want to shed all this anxiety and this fear and this pain and this anguish that just surrounds me at every step. And I want to hand that heavy burden to you and release it, because his yoke is light. And I want to live a life of peace and of joy, regardless of what's happening in the world. And if that is the life you want to live, just ask Jesus into your heart. Ask him to forgive your sins. And he will. He promised. And if you did just pray that prayer, just reach out to somebody you know who knows Jesus and get into a great church, start reading the Bible. And I tell you, you're the best life that you possibly could live is right in front of you, even if it doesn't feel like it.
So good. So good, John. And just to think 3 weeks ago, you were ICU, and now we get to do this and have this conversation. That's just beautiful. Thank you so much.
God's awesome, dude.
Yeah. If people want to get a hold of the book, if they want to find out more about you, how do they do that?
Yeah, just go to, it's on everywhere for pre-order. I'd love for you guys to pre-order it. It comes out April 27th. I don't know when this comes out, but it's on Books A Million, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Where I'd love for you to go is beyondinfluence.com/book. If you want to join our launch team, we're doing some really cool things for folks on our launch team. Just let me know. On all the social media, there's a contact form on the website. beyondinfluence.com/book. That's where we're putting everything as we launch this book. The reason I think God put it on my book, everything we talked about, right? When people can connect to that true identity, they can connect to their purpose. And then if they have the tools and the courage to just start, take that small step toward that, it's amazing what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally 9 years ago after my accident, I was laying in a hospital bed for 2 years. Today, there's literally been tens of millions of people that have heard my story. We've worked with clients all over the world, and God's opened doors for us to work in the Pentagon and in Fortune 100 companies and beyond anything I could ever dream or conceive of at the time. And it's just been 9 years, or really 7 years now, of building this, of just taking small steps every day and trusting God.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. If you're listening, beyondinfluence.com/book, you can find more about John, grab a copy of that book. And this has been a wonderful conversation. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Andy.